Last week looked about the idea of play, and how many of you played this past week? All right, you played this past week, that's good. I mentioned the fact that play is natural to children, just as worship ought to be natural to each and every one of us. You know, just as reading the Word of God and praying, it just ought to just be natural flowing in our life. We love being with God, and just as kids lose all sense of time in playing, we ought to lose all sense of time being in the presence of the Lord. And I close by saying, just as that little boy comes to the screen door and he says, "Can you come out and play?" I think Jesus comes to the door and he says, "Can you come out and play? Can you come out and worship?" Now, this morning we're going to be talking a little bit about water. And there's nothing as refreshing as a cool, good glass of water. Amen? I love water. And that is good water. But how many of you remember as a child, or you had kids or grandkids, setting up that lemonade stand or setting up that Kool-Aid stand and having it on the corner and selling it for 5 cents a cup? How many of you ever did that? Remember that? You know, some of you did. I remember doing that. And when we got 25 cents, I mean, that first customer coming up, wow, one whole nickel. And when you got up to 25 cents, you thought you were really getting it made. But nothing was greater than having that cool glass of water or that lemonade or that iced tea, which sounds very appealing for right now. I think about coming in from baling hay. And there was nothing more refreshing than having that cool glass of water touch your lips. You were hot, you were sweaty. Maybe out playing a ball game, you came in, drank that hot, cool glass of water. What I really liked was the hand pump. How do you remember the hand pump that we have? Okay, and there was nothing as great. You know, you always had the tin cup on top of that hand pump. Or you had that tin cup hanging on the hand pump. And I always liked that. I never believed that you could have a good glass of cool water without a tin cup. You had to have that tin cup. But what was even better was when you began cranking on that handle and you'd put your whole mouth underneath that faucet and you'd allow the water just to come into your throat. I mean, that was just so great and so refreshing. I mean, water is just something that we all love, we all delight. It's a part of our life, a part of the staple of our life. And it keeps us hydrated. Now, not only do we drink water, but we also play at the lake. And I don't know why all my slides, but anyway, we play at the lake, and I remember we were going start all that over there. But anyway, what we have here is that we were looking at some old slides, and how many of you remember jumping in the old mud hole? Okay, and we found an old picture of my grandpa. Maybe I shouldn't even mention this morning, but he's long since passed away. But he was at his old little mud hole. It wasn't a very big pond at all, and he was a little boy, and they were running off the end of this dock with a bunch of other little boys, thank goodness, because somewhere along the line, their swim trunks were missing, okay? But, you know, it was a fascinating picture. But how many of you, you know, enjoy your time around the lake or the water? I mean, my wife comes from Michigan. She grew up around the water. And we went for vacation up there for about 30-plus years when her parents were still alive. And it was an economical vacation. Plus, it was also time at the lake, and she loved to go to the water. Maybe they would go for a weekend, or when they were on the lake, it was a time you'd go out. And the lake was actually fed by a spring, and so in a hot summer day, that water in the lake was about 78, 80 degrees. So, you know, it was sort of chilly. And so they would dive in, they would play around, and as you all know the story, I had to put my life jackets and my water wings on because I was not going to venture very far from that raft. But it was so great to be able to just to immerse yourself in that water on a hot summer day and to be able to enjoy yourself and to be able to just to relax. But many of you know what it's like to be away at the vacation, away at the beach on those kinds of days. Water, again, is a very unique commodity in our life, and we need that. And throughout the Bible, we find all sorts of images for the Bible, or for the water. We find, for instance, that God brought forth water from a rock to quench the thirst of these Israelites who are wandering in a very dry and arid land called the wilderness. I think about Elijah, who had left the contention and the battle with the prophets of Baal, and God had led him to a brook, and there by that brook, there was some cool, refreshing water. And there at that water place, he was able to quench his own thirst and refresh him. I think about these passages of scripture from the psalmist. "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." And then, of course, I think about this one from Psalm 42. "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." And I've recounted before of going up to a little place where there was a pioneer village in the past along the Mississinewa River. And I saw this deer lapping up the water from the brook. And it just reminded me of that verse and just made my heart cry out, God, I want to know you. I want to serve you. Lord, I want my heart to pan after you like this deer is lapping up this water in my own heart or in the water brooks. And so today we're going to turn to a passage of Scripture that actually comes from John chapter 4. And it's about a woman who comes to the well one day to draw some water, and she meets this man called Jesus. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask for me a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." He would have given you living water. And so here is Jesus. He's traveling through this land. Again, Jews and Samaritans had no relationship with one another. They did not see eye to eye. And it all goes back to the time of the exile. And Jesus is tired. He's thirsty. His mouth is dry. And there at that time, this woman comes to the well all by herself. It was not at the time the other women came to the well. And she comes to the well. And there Jesus is sitting in that well. And he says to her, "Ma'am, could you give me a drink of water?" And she begins by saying, "Well, why do you ask me for a drink of water?" He says, "Ma'am, I just want a drink of water." And she begins talking about water, and she begins talking about places of worship. And he begins to change the conversation from water to living water. Water to living water. And from the temple at Gerizim in Jerusalem to how he is the temple. But let's go back to that. He begins talking about living water. You know, I'm gullible for some things in my life. I remember a long time ago, before I came to my senses, that, I have been always told that I'm losing a little bit of hair. When I look in the mirror, I don't see any loss of hair myself. But people who sit up in the balcony tell me all the time that you should see my spot on the back of my head. Well, I don't have to look at it. You do. So that's fine with me. But I remember buying what was called New Generation. Remember New Generation? How many of you remember that? I mean, you rub it on your head and your hair grows, okay? So I bought it with the idea that I was going to have this big flock of hair. You know, I was going to have this big do. And I rubbed it on for weeks on end, and I saw a little bitty peach fuzz coming around. And finally, I came to the conclusion, nah, it's not going to do anything. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to lump it or leave it. I'm not concerned about it. If other people are concerned about it, they can buy me a toupee. And then I also have come across something in the mail it was like living water. And some of you have heard about Willard water, and this was water that supposedly had been purified, and then it had been run back through, and somehow it has a bond angle that's better than other water, and it kills pathogens, and you can even place this into a contaminated well, and you will begin to clear up that well water. Well, I bought some, and it came in this bottle. It's got a little cork on the top, and man, I thought this was pretty cool. It was all bound up like a bottle of wine. It was water, and I thought, I'm going to pour this into a pitcher of purified water, and it did make it taste differently. In fact, I decided to take a swig like this. I thought, if it does that, I'm going to be a brand new person. I'll probably revert to childhood before my very eyes. But anyway, I took a swig of it, and it was pretty good. But you know what happened? You know, after I drank it, an hour or two later, I was wanting some more. You see, you drink water, and what happens? You want more. And Jesus says, I want to share with you about living water. And he begins to say to her, I want to offer you something that's even more important than water is to your own body. And it is living water. Living water. So there's two questions I want to ask this morning. One is, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? And two, what is it that you desire? What is it that you want? Well, I don't know right now. I'd like to have a big juicy hamburger with a tomato on top and some lettuce and a great big slice of onion and some ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise and horseradish and baked beans and potato salad and iced tea. And doesn't that sound great right about now? No, I don't have it, but anyway. It sounds good, doesn't it? I'd like to have that. I'd like really want that right now, but I don't have it. When we stop and think about what is it that you want, what is it that you want? And I think about a man by the name of C.S. Lewis who wrote books called Mere Christianity and Chronicles of Narnia. His autobiography is called Surprised by Joy. He was a young man who was raised in the church. He was baptized in the church. He knew all the church stuff and all the church lingo, but he really did not have Christ in his own heart. His mother was diagnosed with cancer, and he prayed for her healing, and she was not healed. She died, and thus began his journey into agnosticism and atheism. He wasn't sure whether there was a God. He wasn't sure whether or not even God answered his own prayers, and he began to drift away. He became a professor of literature at Oxford University. And he began to search, you know, for things that would satisfy this inner desire of his own heart. Couldn't find it. The journey with his mother that led him away from the faith actually led him back to the faith. And in his book called Surprised by Joy, which is his autobiography, he relates how he came back to God and how he felt this compelling embrace of the Father above, this compelling embrace of God that brought him back home. And he began to realize that every want and desire that we have in this life is only a reminder that the true need or the true answer to that lies in something beyond this world. We cannot have an answer in this world. Every thirst that you have, every hunger pang that you have, every desire for pleasure that you have, every desire for power that you have, your search for significance and meaning, your desire to have an ultimate high like people do in drugs and alcohol will only prove to be a dead-end street unless it's anchored in something outside of this world that's anchored in God himself. In fact, some of you may know Thomas Aquinas. He says, every single behavior is rooted in a God-given appetite. And Bertrand Russell, who is an atheist, says, the center of me is always and eternally a terrible pain, a searching for something beyond what this world contains. He was searching for something. And C.S. Lewis says, every want that you have, there's a desire behind that. You know, there's something more than that. You can drink that water, you want more. You can go out and have that high on a dope or drugs or whatever it might be, you want more. You can go out and you can surf the web for pornography, you can want something more than that. Why? Because only God can fill the void of your heart and your life. And so we come to this statement of C.S. Lewis, and notice what he says. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And I get to thinking about that, and I think about, you know, some of the silly analogies that I have used. For instance, you know, you go out on a grill and you have T-bone steaks or you have pork chops that are this thick and they're mouth-watering. You ask your grandkids what they would like and they said, oh, a hot dog or a peanut butter sandwich. You know, here he says, God offers us this holiday at the sea and we're content with making mud pies in our backyard. An all-expense-paid trip to Myrtle Beach, you know, resort hotel, free meal, everything. He says, you're content with making mud pies in your backyard. He says, we're far too easily pleased. And so here's Jesus. He comes to this young woman and he says, you know what? I am that which you ultimately need. I am the living water. And he says in Jeremiah 2:14, which is actually a fulfillment of this, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. If they dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. We search here, we search there, we search there, we search there. We dig these cisterns that hold water that hopefully will satisfy our soul, and they're all dead-end streets. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. Only Jesus Christ has the ultimate answer. This man on the screen is Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols once played for the St. Louis Cardinals, and then he was traded to the Los Angeles Angels. He's a World Series champion. He's a MVP nominee and winner three times. He plays for the Angels. This Friday night, he hit a grand slam home run and drove in five runs in the game to bring the Angels from a come-from-behind victory over the Oakland Athletics. Albert Pujols was speaking before a group of fathers and sons at Lafayette Senior High School in St. Louis. And as he was sharing with these young men and these sons, he says, as a Christian, I am called to live a holy life. My standard for living is set by God, not by the world. And then he said, it would be easier to go out and do whatever I want, But those things only satisfy the flesh for a moment. Jesus satisfies my soul forever. And I like that. Here's a man who's been respected and well thought of and who's an athlete and is a role model for many people. And he's unabashedly standing before these fathers and sons saying, it's only Jesus that satisfies. You can search for significance here. You can search for purpose here. You can search for meaning here. But it's only in Jesus Christ that you will find the ultimate answer to life. So here's this young woman who comes and she says, well, what about this living water? How do I receive it? And very simply, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So it's a gift. How do we receive it? One, we need to admit our need. I am thirsty. Now, there is a situation or a condition called apatheia, which is the absence of the sensation of thirst. We don't know we're thirsty. And if we don't know we're thirsty, we will not drink. And what happens when you do not drink? You become dehydrated. Your chemical imbalances happen within the body. The electrolytes all begin to get messed up, and you become susceptible to a heart attack or a cardiac arrest. We need to admit that we have a need, that we have a want. So we have to come to Jesus and admit that we have a need. The beginning point of any healing, the beginning point of any life turnaround is to say, I am a sinner, I need help, I'm thirsty. Secondly, to believe Jesus Christ can meet that need. She goes back to that village that day. And she says, come see a man who told me all things. She had been in relationships and out of relationships. She had been in this marriage and that marriage. Only Jesus Christ could meet the ultimate need of her life. There's no person that will meet the ultimate need of your life. Your husband cannot ultimately meet your need. Your wife cannot ultimately meet your need. There's no friend that can ultimately meet your need. Only Jesus Christ can meet the deepest needs of your heart and life. And he's willing to do that. But thirdly, we must come to him and we must drink of this living water. Now, this is not the last time that Jesus says, I thirst. Because some months later, he would be hanging on a cross. His lips would be parched. His tongue would be swollen. His body would be dehydrated. He would say, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. And he would die for your sins and for mine. And he would fulfill the prophecy in Psalm 22 where it says, I've been poured out like water. He was poured out like water so that we could receive living water. But Isaiah 55 says this, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. He will strengthen your bones and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Jesus Christ indeed is the ultimate answer to our life. So here's Jesus. We think about this in the summertime. And every time you go out to the watering hole, every time you pick up a glass of water, I want you to remember this, that Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy. That lake will truly cool us down. This glass of water will quench our thirst. But those deep inner needs, you know, can only be met by Jesus Christ. And these things are merely a reminder that of all the things on this earth, Jesus Christ is indeed the temple, the living temple, the living water, and the ultimate resource for all of humanity. And we need that today. We need that today. Our country is living in an insane way. I mean, we are continually upside down. I don't understand why it is that we think the way we do sometimes. When I think about that shooting in South Carolina, I'm saying, what in the world is happening to our nation? We need Jesus. We need the one who can satisfy our deepest needs. And we come to him, and hopefully we relax upon him today. If you need to confess Jesus Christ, admit your thirst today, do that today, because he will be the one who will indeed give you that person and that faith for which you need to live in your own heart and life. Well, I'm going to stop right there. And as many of you know, this is Scott's last Sunday. He's going to be taking a church up at Sugar Grove in Dunkirk, Bethel. And I just want to thank Scott for all the years that we've been together and participating in our youth ministry, for Lori being our custodian, for Ruth Ann being our treasurer. And it's one of those things that we wrestle with a lot. Some of his experiences were like mine. I when I was called into ministry, I sort of ran from that for many years and gave all sorts of excuses. But, when you obey the Lord, he blesses you and he leads you in the way that you need to go. And that's the only way. And sometimes we don't understand why certain doors close and other doors open up. But when I was talking to the district superintendent, he really reminded me that, yes, certain doors close and other doors open up. And that's the only way that you deal with the situations that we are faced with. And so I want Scott to come forward. I want to have a prayer for him. And as he comes forward, I'm going to pray for him. Come on, let's get down here. We'll pray. And you can jump over the balcony if you like. But pray for him, and then you have the prayer, and then the rest you can just reach your hands out toward us, and we'll pray, and then we'll have this last song.